Blog Talk Radio.
To our special broadcast tonight, you are listening to Jeremiah Speaks and the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We can be heard Monday through Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. right here on this radio station, as well as Sunday morning starting at 8:30 a.m. We are sitting in tonight for Reverend Reed, who's on special assignment. And truly, we are blessed to have you, our listeners, tonight. And this is our disclaimer that the music that you hear belongs to the artist, and we are here to promote those sounds, those CDs, and to just get you to worship and to glorify the Father. Let us sit back now as we abase ourselves and we go into the inner court. We go behind the veil to be on one accord to worship God in spirit and in truth. Truly, we love the Lord. We love you, our listeners. And again, we have a special broadcast. Call your friends, call your family, even call your enemy, because tonight we are going to talk about that special holy night. And this is by Nat King Cole. Amen.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees.
Christ was born. You know, I wanted to dig into this particular story because there are so much controversy about Christmas, the Christmas tree, the holidays, and I think this is a time that we get together and look at all the factual data and history that we have in reference to that beautiful, beautiful day that we, the people of America, and I'm speaking to all the nations around the world, see why this is a special story to us and I'm going to slow down because I know I have interpreters, that in America we have a special time of year and holiday that we would like to share with you, the listeners from China, Russia, Jamaica, Africa, England, and all of those places. Sit back and relax with us. Amen. Our story takes us in the beginning when the pilgrims came to the New World in 1620. And before that, even 1,000 years before that, there was the Covis people living in that region. If you can't hear me, please give me a call. As I say, I'm trying to slow down and to present the broadcast. It was for religious reasons, religious freedom, and the rights of people. Some countries had laws that dictated what people could and could not do, and how they should act, what they should believe, and how they should govern their lives. But here in this America, we constituted religious freedom, religious laws that promoted what we believe and what we wanted to be our laws to govern us as people. We see here that America is known for celebrating holidays, celebrating all types of activities, and also they're known for different freedom walks and activity. And I'll tell you why. Let us go to What's the Dictionary before we get started and just look up the word holiday. Holiday, according to Webster, is a day or festivity where no work is done. It is also a celebration of one's pleasure, important event, or occasion where there's social activity. And when we look at Christmas, which is known in this America as well as been adopted around other countries now, it's an annual Christian festivity celebrating Christ's death, especially in the Western culture. You know, the Bible speaks that this is a time of great love, healing, and rejoicing when others throughout the Word of God commemorate the birth of Christ. As you see in Matthew's chapters 1 and 2 and Luke in 1 and 2, it tells about the Christmas story of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus being born. Also, the story about the birth of Christ, it takes us through the time when he was born in a stable and placed in a manger. You know, when you look at that story that Jesus was born in a manger, some of you who are from those foreign countries or third world countries know about caring for animals, the barns or the stables that you have for the animals. But it was to show humble birth that God himself wanted us to know that you don't have to be born through a royal birth line of a king or a queen to be special to him, that Jesus, the Son of God, had the power of heaven and earth and all angels to come sup with him. He was born in a manger, a stable. You know, Jesus had to be separated as the Christ. Remember now, when Mary and Joseph went to the inn and they did not find room, guess what? It was a good thing. You know why? Because people that were in the inn or tavern or bar, they were in a sinful state, drinking. I'm sure they were cursing. And Jesus had to come to a place of purity, of a sinless nature. There was no room in the inn for Jesus because there was lies, corruption, lust, and all of this would be around him, including those that was of a drunken nature and that would dilute the purity of Christ's birth. You know, the Bible says his gift would and did make room for him. His birth was holy. Believe it or not, the barn, a place that stored grain, hay, straw, and livestock, they were all created. The animals themselves were created by God. And this was a place where the Christ child could lay in a manger, did not have to deal with lies, drunkenness, sinfulness, but around animals that they call dumb animals that welcomed him. This was the best place that Jesus could have been born. It was sin-free. The animals welcomed him according to the word of God. The animals did not ridicule him, blaspheme the Holy Ghost, talk about his birth. There was no fighting going on and drunkenness. But this was a safe place that would occur at a sanctified place of separation and not in a bar. Jesus was wrapped in cloth. Let me slow it down. And as most mothers know, when we have children, they are naked in this world, and we wrap them in blankets. Can you imagine if Jesus was born in the tabern? The birth itself could have been disrespected, mocked by people who were drunken in nature, ridiculed, and all types of destruction could have interrupted the birth of the child in an unholy place. The crib or the manger that Jesus laid in was a wooden or a stone feeding box where animals would come to eat or to drink water. And when you really look at the symbolicness of it, God is very symbolic, the God that I serve, that there are different things that he does to represent things, to explain histories or stories or ideas better. So where the animals was feeding or drinking from a stone feeding box, that Jesus not only was the food or fuel for humanity, but they say that that wooden box was a water vehicle used that animals fed themselves. And can you imagine that Jesus is the bread and the water and a lifeline and bloodline for us, humanity? Jesus' birth was very symbolic. There was a star, or they call the Eastern Star, or the Star of Bethlehem, which appeared to three wise men when Jesus was born. Many scholars believe that that star in the east represented recorded instances, or it told stories of heaven, celestial settings, or planetary conjunctions, or counts of comets and stars in the east. It gave off a lot of information that even those who were studying Jupiter and Saturn, as well as the sun and the moon, they found most of their information set in the east. And they said that the three wise men, some say the Magi, but those three wise men, they verified the eclipse of the moon and the sun. They were scientists. Some of them called them kings. And they recorded this bright star that they saw in the east, that something special was going on. And God led them, and I'm sure that God instructed them to go and follow that star because his son was born. These three men studied signs. Some people will call them astrologers. Some would call them scientists. But they looked up to heaven to see the movement of God, and they investigated, and they were told to bring gifts to this very special little person that was just born, the Son of God. You know, some people ask the question, why were they wise men? What made them so special? Well, can you imagine that your whole life journey, that you're looking up to heaven, you're studying the glory of God's heaven, and that you measure not only the movement of God and his stars, but also that God instructed them what to bring this little king, which was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, if I look for a title tonight, I wanted to talk about the Christmas story and the Christmas tree. I'll say it again, that this is the Christmas story and the Christmas tree. Gold is a symbol of kingship on earth. Frankincense is a symbol of royal priesthood. It's a symbol of divinity. It is a symbol that this is the priesthood that God wanted them to recognize, that this is a royal birth and special little person. Myrrh, or that incense, it was an embalming oil or as a symbol of death. Isn't it strange if we look at the three things that the king, those three kings brought to Jesus, that first of all, that Jesus' life, and when they brought him the gold, it represented that, wow, that here this little child would be the king on earth from a royal priesthood of God the Father. And his death on Calvary, which was the myrrh that they used, that he would be embalmed, oiled down at the time of his death in a cloth. So when Jesus was born, Mary, she wrapped him in cloth. Jesus' life started out that he was with his family. He was considered to be born in a place with low animals, with those who had no privileges, by owners who used them as cattle and dictated what they could and could not do with life in their body. It's strange that Jesus was with these animals, because if you look at the comparison today, that when Jesus walked the earth, the people that he ministered to was treated as dumb animals. They were owned by authority over human beings. They was considered the poor and common people. Some of them was lame, dumb, could not talk. And they was treated just as those barn animals. His life started to be a reflection of what his ministry would be about. Lord have mercy. Can you see the correlation that here Christ was born in a manger with animals, and the people that he ministered to was thought of no less than. Today, when nations of people remember the story of Christ's birth, they put images of Christ. They put figures, or they use different type of little statues to say, this is Jesus' birth in that manger with Mary, Joseph, and the three wise men. Some would even use a Christmas tree with lights to commemorate or recall and show respect for Christ's holy birth. Don't you know that because the star was so bright in the east and because it was such a symbolic and holy birth, that lights even today decorate people's homes as the candles for heaven to see that even on those small Christmas trees, that this is a special time that Jesus Christ was born. Believe it or not, in the scriptures, Leviticus 23:40, it says, some people believe that the tree is a celebration or symbol based on the worship of God in others. It reminds them that Jesus, who left the stars of heaven to come to earth around a special time or season that we commemorate here in the Western culture of America, Christmas time or that Christmas season. When you look at a tree or when you look at the symbolicness of the branch or the shape of the tree, would you believe that that another tree, a life, was in the Garden of Eden, was also symbolic of everlasting life, and it was used, and it was in the presence of Adam and Eve when God walked with them. Christ's birth and death on the hill of Calvary was on a dogwood tree. It was very symbolic, but guess what? It was a sign of our redemption. You know, I would like to give a little testimony because I wanted to clear the air a little bit. For those of you around the world, majority of us, we do not worship a Christmas tree as an idol. Symbolically, some of us, majority of us, we use it for a season of celebration, a commemoration that Christ was born. And yes, we put those little figurines under the tree. Some put all this other stuff, and it's okay. But the real reason is that this is a celebration. I would like to say this. When I was a social worker, remember now, I'm a foster child that was adopted into a family with no mother, father, sister, brother. No one would care for me except this particular family that I was so blessed. And I remember the times of being at this foster family. I had so much love. When God permitted me and graced me to have a job, believe it or not, my job was with adopted and foster children. You know, I watched those faces of those small little kids. It was 6,000 in numbers that we were responsible for as an agency. They had lost all hopes at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. They were taken away from their parents, and many of them were so sad around the holiday. But thank God for his grace, thank God for his mercy, that our agency permitted reunions, family gatherings, and holiday cheer with members of their family. It was so nice seeing the smiles on the children's faces, especially when they would get those Christmas gifts from their family. You know, when you look around the world, if you really want to see a child light up, give them something special. Not only a hug or a compliment, but give them a little treat, a little doll baby, or a little toy. They light up just as the stars of heaven because it makes them feel loved and make them feel special. Also, as a social worker that God permitted me to work with those who was hurting, that elderly people who lived in a senior citizen home alone, sometimes their children have forgotten them. Sometimes they did not see anybody during the holidays. Maybe a phone call on Thanksgiving, but rarely did majority of them have a lot of family come and visit them around the holiday time. When I worked with those people, I noticed that Thanksgiving time was so special. The women would put on the lipsticks. The men would pull the hair back and shine themselves up. They were so glad. And I said, where are you going? We're going to the kitchen or to the dining room. We're having a Thanksgiving dinner. Those elderly people were so glad that they could eat with family. They were so glad that they could be gathered together. And truly, to have a Thanksgiving dinner with someone sitting across the table made them smile. I also noticed Christmas time was very strange for the elderly people that I had to take care of. I would go and visit them, and they would be staring at the Christmas tree or the Christmas lights. And I was wondering, why was they staring at it? I thought they were asleep at first. And then one of the ladies said, I remember when I was with my kids, we used to have hot cocoa and give gifts on Christmas time. And I remember this and that. The Christmas tree reminded those who was lonely, those who was hurting, that good times can be remembered in their hearts and in their minds. You know, we are free here in America to make decisions and choices. Where we want to go and worship, what holidays we want to celebrate, and what we believe. You know, I once asked God, I'm a person that I love earrings because I share a secret with you. I believe that my head is shaped in such a proportion that I need earrings to balance out my face. You know, and I said, God, I've learned in the church that adore myself with jewelry. What's the problem? So God showed me a scripture that in Egypt, the harem or harlot of women used to put on lipstick and perfumes and jewelry and all types of clothes, and that's how they would seduce or entice or have these type of orgies or invite the men to come into their camp. So the Jews was teaching modesty. The Jews was encouraging the women to cover their hair and to look modest and be respectful to themselves as well as their husband. So God spoke to me, and I said, God, am I in sin when I wear earrings? He said, if you use it as an idol, if you worship it as a god, or you put it before me, God let me know that it was only decorations or ornament that I chose as a human being to wear for my body for my reasons. Thank God that I had the boldness to wear my earrings. A lot of people, especially in authority of being a leader, they would always want me to take out my earrings because it said something. I don't know what it said, but I knew that it said that I'm a human being and I make choices. You're either going to judge me on what I say by my word and not look at the outward appearance of clothes. But look at my character, if you could. So I chose to wear those earrings because my God told me, as long as I don't worship it. It says in Leviticus that a tree were used with gold and silver and decorations However, that it was only what it was, decoration. It was just something that people did. You know, it's strange, but a lot of people, now look at this. If you decide that you love shiny clothes or woolen clothes, whatever you decide you want to wear, those are clothes that you pick. Is it an idol? If you choose, if you choose that you decide that you want to get a Christmas tree because it reminds you of family, of the good times, it make you give you some type of comfort psychologically and mental health, it soothes the nerves to the point that you have remembrance of those times that gave you happiness. It has a lot of meaning for the things that people in America can decide what they want to do. So many countries around the world, there's a lot that they can tell you when to cut on lights, what you can eat, how you can dress, what you can have in your home. But we have laws and constitutions, and this is why immigrants come to this country, because we have made a decision that we have the freedom of rights and the freedom to decide what we want to do. And the reason that I chose, and I'm going to put up my Christmas lights, and I decided to get a live tree this year because I want to smell the pine, it has a special meaning for me. I hope that we're on the air. I heard a click. I don't know if you can hear me or not. I would like to get a text from those who can hear me to let me know that I'm on the air. But getting back to my story, I remember that the last time I saw my mom, I had worked hard that day. This was my first job. This was my first check. And I was so tired and sleepy, maybe about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And my dear mother, she said, "Daughter, I guess we won't have a Christmas tree this year. I always had one, even when I was a little girl. And the house is so dull. It seems so unhappy. It seems sad." She said, "I miss that we didn't have a Christmas tree. You didn't put one up?" I said, "Ma'am." She said, "You didn't put no Christmas tree or decoration up this year. You tired?" "I guess you tired because you work hard." And she went to bed. And I hope you can hear me because this is a very emotional story right here. And I was so tired, but I wanted to make this mother happy because she didn't have to take me as an orphan. They didn't have to take me out abandoned car bloody, discarded and trashed by my real mother. She didn't have to raise me and ridicule that people said that she had a black sheep that she was taking care of. She didn't have to take all of those abuse that's not your real child. She suffered having me as her kid. Plus, I didn't look like them because I have a mixed birth of my nationality. And they would always say, "Her hair looks like so-and-so, and she looks like this family and that family." I didn't find out that I wasn't their real child until I was 12 years old, and I was disrespected by my aunt, who told my mother in front of me, "This not your child. She's not a part of our family. She's not our blood." And my adoptive father said, "If I put a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and I feed you, you're my child." So I thought about all of the struggles that they went through to raise this foster little black sheep. And I was tired. But my mother didn't know I was tired because I had bought her gifts for the Christmas holiday. I did not know that Christmas tree was so special to her. It was so important. I stayed up Eastern Standard Time to 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. I never did go to bed that night. And I put that tree up And I put every type of gifts I could think of under that tree. All of them was for my mother. I had spent my whole check on her. And my dad, I had to repent of my sins. I brought him one gift. He wanted an alarm clock that I had to wake me up, so I brought him a copy of it. But everything else was my mom. And I woke up, because she know I'm a country girl, and she know I love that stricoline bacon, that cheddar cheese with egg, the hominy grits, the herring fish, the fried green apples, the butter rolls and biscuits. She knew that was my specialty. And I woke up and smelled all those good treats, and I was like, "What?" She said, "Baby, wake on up here. It's Christmas morning." I noticed there was a joyfulness and cheer in her voice. And I said, "Ma, what you cooking?" She said, "I'm fixing your favorite food." I hadn't got the cold out my eyes. And I said, "Ma, did you look on the tree?" She said, "Look up. Open your eyes." I looked up. My mother had found the shirts that I brought her. She had ironed them. She was a short little lady, maybe about 4'11", very little tiny lady. And she had hemmed up the pants. And I looked up. I said, "Ma, you have sewn the pants too?" She said, "Yeah, when the people come over today, I'm going to look good." She went through those boxes under that tree, and she found all those gifts. Ooh, try not to cry. I want to say it to you. It was so special. Seeing my mother so happy. I never will forget, my mom was so happy, and she always wanted a white tree with blue blobs, but all we could afford was a green tree. And I said, "Ma, did you get all the rest of the gifts?" She said, "All them gifts for me, baby?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "What about you?" I said, "I just want to give you those gifts." I was so glad that I put up that Christmas tree. That was the last time I saw my mother. That was the last time I saw a smile on her face. My mother died 3 weeks later. Her heart burst in her chest. And believe it or not, she died right before my birthday. Such a sad time. When my mother died, my father died. Again, I became the black sheep. I didn't have any family, and I had to leave the only safe place that I knew, but the last thing I remembered was the Christmas tree. I made up my mind that if I ever got a job and money, I was going to buy a Christmas tree to think about my mom, and you know what I brought? I brought the white tree with the blue bulbs. For 20 years, I made that tree. I didn't have food. I couldn't buy clothes sometimes, but I brought that tree. And I put it up every year to think about my mom, and I thank God for her. It meant so much to me that when I had children, well, I have children, I have two boys and a son. And what I did was I told them, I said, every year you get a Thanksgiving turkey to remember family, see friends, and invite even your enemies over, but don't put them around your food. And I said, get you a Christmas tree. I decorated for 30 years. I made sure that my kids saw a Thanksgiving turkey and a Christmas tree. And I've always, even when they lived their own place, I would bring a wreath, buy a tree myself, because I wanted them to feel the holidays, not only of being a free American, but a choice to decide what they want in their home, what they want to eat, who they want to be with, and to celebrate that we have a blessing to decide. But I had one rule. I said, whenever you put this tree up, now I want you to remember, this is not an idol. We are not worshiping a tree. For me, it reminds me of my dear mother. For me, that it's Christ's birthday. Would you believe that my grandkids, I tell them all the time, I say, I want you to sing Happy Birthday, Jesus. My grandson, 3 years old, if I had time, I'd play some of the songs he sing. And when he see the tree, I said, is Jesus' birthday? Because they're kids. He'll say, Happy Birthday, Jesus. Happy Birthday to Jesus. Happy Birthday to Jesus. Happy Birthday to Jesus. Happy Birthday to Jesus. I say, I don't know the day or the hour that Christ was born, but he was born. I don't know Jesus' birthday, but when you look at that tree and you put bulbs on it, or some people use lights, that it commemorates for my family that Christ was born. And you may think it's strange, and I'm an older woman now, that I be by myself majority of the time. That's how life is for me. I would go by a tree. Not only do I think of my mom, I decorate my house with lights. I spray pine oil. I cook that turkey, and I could cook now. I could cook things from scratch. I can make biscuits just from the wheat itself, mix it up until it's a meal. And when I see that, and maybe I'm weird, but when I open my eye on Christmas morning, I say, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I don't know when you was born. I don't know the logistics. All I know that you was born, and you carried me all my life as an orphan, being left in a car, raised by a family, abandoned by a family, and left alone several times, even from birth. I said, but I know the angels are celebrating whatever day you was born. Good God Almighty. Every Christmas morning, including if I live to see this Christmas, when I open my eyes first thing Christmas morning, I'm going to say, Happy Birthday, Jesus. Sure, we don't know the day or hour, and it may not mean nothing to you, but when you're lonely like the elderly, when you're displaced like the foster children, or when you've been hurt because you've been separated from family like myself, those holidays are special. 30 years I have always been by myself, never had a Thanksgiving dinner with anyone but myself. Because I push my children away to go to their dad's house and eat with his family because they didn't like me. I was the black sheep. I was different. They fight now to stay. They're older with their own family. And this was the first time, my son is still tickled by it, that I went to his house for dinner because I'm very funny. As an orphan, I don't want to impose on nobody. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable, or they got to be kind to me because I don't have a family. Christmas time, I'm grateful. I said, Jesus, thank you for being born. I can't tell you how to live your life as a human being around this world. I heard that Jamaica commemorated. I heard that England, that this is one of their sacred times. All I know is that Christ was born. I don't care if it was June, July, December, whenever. He was born, folks, and that's the most important thing to me. And I just want to say to you that as you sit back, and I hope you can hear me because nobody texts me to say I'm on the air. I heard a click, so I don't know if this is recorded. If not, I'm going to do it again because the devil is a liar. He's doing everything he can to keep me from being on the radio and to shut my voice down so I can't talk to you. But guess what? I'm like Paul in that prison. I'm going to go forth and do God's good bidding. Hey, hallelujah. Enjoy your family. If you want lights in a Christmas tree, give glory to God. It don't mean nothing. Like God told me about my earrings, it's just decoration. If you worship anything but Christ the Father, death, burial, and resurrection, then it's an idol. But if you want to enjoy the pine and get the little mistletoe, I think it's so cute, and cook that turkey, and you want to be able just to remember mama or those that have gone on or who died during COVID and wasn't able to sup with you and able to have a Thanksgiving or a Christmas, then you put up your tree and your lights. And that Christmas morning, say, happy birthday, Jesus. Sometimes if the weather's not bad, I go outside and look up to heaven. I say, I love you, God. I love you, Father. I said, Jesus, I don't know when your birthday is, but today in this United States is our holiday. Happy birthday, Jesus. So I just want to set the record straight. You're going to hear a lot of preachers and teachers come on here, and they're good. But to thy own self be true. Be true to what you believe according to the word of God. Live the life that you know you're supposed to live according to the commandments and follow the law. So when God opened up the Lamb Book of Life, he can look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Happy holidays to you. And as we sit back, let us listen to some Christmas hymns, because truly, the Christmas tree, the Christmas season means different things to different people. We can't condemn everything that people do because we don't know what they've been through. I once heard somebody say, until you walk in my shoes, don't judge me. Don't condemn me. I don't condemn none of you around the world to accept that God loves you. Really, he does. He gave me this opportunity through this radio station to just to say that you're special. He's soon to come back. And just keep your house in order. And God bless you. Again, nobody have text me to let me know that I'm on the air. So I don't know, because I heard a click on my phone. And if so, if I am disconnected, believe me, I will say the same message again. Because you know why? Because God is able to do anything but fail. And I'm a soldier. This word shall and will get out to glorify God. Happy holidays to you. Let us listen to Tamla Mann, What Child Is This? Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds wild are keeping.
Jesus is the King of Kings. Isn't it so special that all year that you can worship God and then you hear such beautiful songs at this time of year where people commemorate the birth of our Father? Let us listen to Mahalia Jackson, Oh Holy Night. Amen. wasn't it a special night when Christ was born? Truly, it was a blessing for us so that we can have eternal life. We love the Lord, and let us just listen to a little bit more of this Christmas song by Yolanda Adams. And God bless you again as we go into the inner courts and we worship and praise our God. Amen. Again, it's the Christmas song by Yolanda Adams. Amen. Tots asleep tonight. You know why? Because they're looking for that special little gift that only love from a parent can give. It is so special to know that God loves you and you have to love yourself and love family during those holidays, because you never know that when it could be the last time you could see them. So have yourself a Merry Christmas. Let's listen to Luther Vandross. And again, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you. Amen.
A merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on. Oh.
Yes, at this holiday time, enjoy those holidays with family and friends. So many people didn't make it. So many loved ones didn't get a chance to be with family during that last time and hour. But we love the Lord, and we're grateful that we're in the land of the living. Each day, let it be special to you. This is one of my mother's favorite tunes. My mother taught me a lot of soul music and a lot of gospel music as well. So I have a combination from Ella Fitzgerald down to James Brown to James Cleveland, all the way up from the Temptation down to Patti LaBelle. My mother, that was well-rounded. But one thing about her, she loved the Lord. She carried that little red testament, and I'm here today in salvation because of what she taught me. So let us listen to Silent Night by the Temptation, and God bless you again. Amen.
Not here, but I want you to remember this last.